Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The love that we show to Allah Ta'ala is just a minuscule in proportion to the love Allah Ta'ala has for us. We consider it as a great thing and as a great achievement that we love Allah Ta'ala, not realizing that it's just a minuscule of the love that Allah Ta'ala has. And it's an effect of the minuscule love that Allah Ta'ala has for us, that we love Him. On account of His love for us, He has made deen easy. He wants us to be eligible and bonafide to enter into Jannah. So, in order that we enter into Jannah, we need to meet a certain criteria. If the criteria to be very difficult, it has been difficult for us to enter into Jannah. The standard that He's prepared, the criteria that He has created, is very simple. So He wants you to be ushered into Jannah, and hence made deen so simple, so easy, so manageable. The difficulty is in our minds. We complicate things. We make things difficult, and that which was easy now seems to be difficult. Otherwise, it's not difficult at all. Show me one thing in deen that's difficult. If wuzu and ghusl is not manageable, there is the substitute of tayammum. Cannot perform your namaz standing and sitting. Then a whole host of concessions Allah Ta'ala has given. So these concessions, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah Ta'ala intends ease. الدِّينُ يُسْرٌ. Deen is easy. Hence, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes into Medina Munawwara, then He illustrates the easy aspects of Islam, things that are very easy, manageable. Afshu salam. Make salam a common practice. Is that difficult? Person I know and recognize, the person that I don't recognize, but make salam a common practice. And if this ummah, if they only reflected over the meaning of salam, then I think about 80% of their problems would have all been dead. All would have been just finished. If you only reflected over the content or the meaning of salam. The first thing that you are doing when you're making salam is you are reminding your friend or your brother about Allah Ta'ala. Salam is the name of Allah Ta'ala. As-salamul mu'min. So you're reminding him of Allah Ta'ala. Can there be anything more virtuous than reminding someone of Allah Ta'ala? It is He we live for. It is He who we die for. And when I reminded you of Allah Ta'ala, can there be anything more virtuous? And I reminded you of Allah Ta'ala with a name that is so attractive. Salam, peace. So just not any name, but the name that comes with peace. The name that comes with tranquility. The name that comes with happiness. That's the name that I've chosen to remind you of Allah Ta'ala. When I'm greeting you, the second thing I'm doing is I'm saying, Anta aminum minni. You'll be rest assured, you won't experience any difficulty at my hands. Now, if this salam was deeply rooted into your hearts, will you ever hurt your wife? Or will you be a blessing for her? In the way you speak, the way you talk, the way you conduct yourself, you'll think 10 times, must I say this, mustn't I say this? If I'm going to say this, is it going to hurt her? Is it going to disturb her? All these things you will take into consideration before you open your mouth. For example, just before you're going to sleep, you tell her, you know what, I'm going to get guests tomorrow. I ask you, can she enjoy a beautiful sleep? Getting guests for tomorrow morning breakfast. Or I just say, no, to extend hospitality is a sunnah, I'm doing it. You consider that, But the other side of it you didn't consider. So now the whole night she'll be in that worry now, anxiety. Okay, what do I need to prepare? How do I need to prepare? What do I need to do? But you know that guest is going to come around 9 o'clock. So her sleep breaks at about 5, half past 5. And I said, you know, I just want a secret to discuss with you. So you made it a little bit amusing, made it a little bit nice for her, juicy. And then you say, you know, hey, one guest man I got two guests. I know you'll do it in two-twos. That's why I didn't tell you at night. She'll make a moan, you know, why didn't you tell me at night? I would have taken out the meat and all that. I would have marinated the thing. So it's a very small little thing, but the ease that you bring to the person. You pre-warned the person, told the person in advance, then the person's mind is not at ease, not at rest. But he told the same thing at a different occasion, when his mind was at ease, he was relaxed. Now you tell him, you know, I need to do this. No, inshallah, I will cooperate. Whatever you need, I will do it for you. So you let the person enjoy a good night's rest. By the morning, you learn this from the hadith of Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, and when his child had passed away. But how beautifully the wife conducted herself. Now she knows that the husband is coming in. So he'll want to eat. Perhaps he'll want to enjoy some intimacy. If I'm going to tell that the child has died, he won't sleep, he won't enjoy any intimacy, and whatever we need to do will only happen after Fajr. So why disturb his sleep? Let him sleep, let him enjoy. Then as he's going for Fajr, then I'll tell him, I'll break the news then. Because after Fajr, then they can do the janaza namaz. But that consideration. See. Unfortunately, we read up the stories, but we don't reflect, we don't think now, what is the story, what is the lesson, what is the moral that is being conveyed here. So the simple little things of Islam, but what a difference it makes to a person. Just showing a good face. It is easy to pull up the face, stern, straight face. It's easy to do that. But how does your audience feel? Person that you're talking to, how does he feel? You put up a straight face, you pulled up your face, how does he feel? If you do that for your wife, how does she feel? And if she does that for you, how will you feel? So it just takes a little bit of humility, just humble yourself, show a good face, and at the appropriate occasion, you mention, alright, you know, you did this like this, can't we do it like this? Whereas appropriate, when she's in the thick of the work, then you told, alright, can't we do it like this? Doesn't she appreciate? But now, at the time that she's going to sleep, and say, you know, this problem here, you need to sort yourself out. Get yourself right, get your act together. So the difficulty is in our minds, we make things difficult. But there was an approach, there was a way where we could have made things so easy, so simple, so enjoyable. Sometimes I think of these people that start off these nurseries, you know. So the method that they use, the methodology, right? The first day it's new for the child, so he may cry or he make a moan, etc. But by the second day, you have to tell him not to go. He was not going to listen. I want to go. So they use an approach to attract the child. They understood the hadith, Bashiru wala tu nafiru. Tell the person, invite him, show him around. And he'll want to come into Islam with joy, with happiness. Don't chase people away. So the approach, what type of approach? It's easy, simple, easy, manageable approach. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is advising her, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, as he's leaving to Yemen. Lengthy hadith, so many hadiths in that. But just one aspect of that hadith. So he says, you're going to Yemen to a people that are Kitabi, either Jew or Christian. First talk about the principal issues, main issues. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So speak about the main issues. And that is why I suppose the Tabligh Jamaat also initially they speak about La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The person may be saying La ilaha illallah, But does he have that level of conviction? If he has the conviction, then to accept everything else becomes easy. Namaz, or ikram, or ilm and zikr, or whatever. Now it becomes easy. But he doesn't have the conviction in Allah Ta'ala, or in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you're explaining him secondary things, is his heart accepting, or his heart in denial? So, the first, the outset now, La ilaha illallah. As Ibn Abbas says, he's talking about five ayats of the Quran, but something that is totally unique in that ayat. He says, the ayat that is the greatest ayat, most magnificent ayat in the Quran, is Ayatul Kursi. Right? The most magnificent, the most glorious, the greatest verse in the Quran Sharif is Ayatul Kursi. So why Ayatul Kursi? Because the attributes of Allah Ta'ala have been explained in this. Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. Always living, eternal. That means there is no beginning, there is no end. For every other creature, there is a beginning and there is an end. And Allah Ta'ala, there is no beginning, there is no end. Can you see this great, great attributes of Allah Ta'ala that come in Ayatul Kursi? Al-Qayyum, he sustains and maintains everything. He, after creating, then he sustains the creature and he maintains the creature. It's not like we build up a home, right? And then we leave it afterwards. Yeah, he's created the creation, but he's sustaining the creation and he's maintaining the creation as well. See, just to appreciate this, understand one thing, right? There are some things that are within your control, right? Within the purview of your control, right? But you reach a point where you must say that, no, from here I must cut off, I can't do anything beyond this. Right? Like you sow the seed, can you do anything beyond that? Can you cause it to grow? Can you cause that seed to germinate? So at that point you must say that, no, I hands up. So that was your limit. Right? You can chew the food, enjoy it, right? And your limit is just the throat. And beyond that, can you do anything? Taking it down, digesting the thing, and then converting the good into energy, the waste throwing it out, and making the liver the distribution point that distributes everything, the blood, the waste, the energy, etc. Was that your work? I'm sure 90% of us don't know what is the function of the liver, right? If it was happening with our brains, we don't know the function. But it's happening. So your contribution is holding is about 0.5%. The rest of it is Allah Ta'ala's. And your contribution is just joy. It's only enjoyment. And eating, what's that? It's only enjoyment. The human seed, your contribution was just the enjoyment. And everything else is Allah Ta'ala's. So can you see the reflection of His love? Or you do it, I'll create an enjoyment for you. I'll create a relaxation. Your mind is at ease. You feel relaxed. You feel so nice, right? Food is only enjoyment. Other things is only enjoyment. And the work that is done, the actual work is Allah Ta'ala's. It's not yours. Life revolves around water. Don't you believe that? Min al-ma'i kulla shayin hay. Everything gets its origin from water. Now in this drought, we begin to realize, you understand, right? Don't we realize this? Cattle gets affected, the plants get affected, the man gets affected. We all understand, the business gets affected after that, right? But everybody can see that it stems from water. And when that water is held back, it's withheld, then everything, every life, every aspect of life is affected. And that water is in control, in the control of Allah Ta'ala entirely. Right? If you talk about water, then who's controlling it? The whole system of water, watering and irrigation at the highest level, it's in the hand of Allah Ta'ala. He's causing the vapor to rise, right? Condensation, decondensation, right? And then purification. And then adding all those minerals that are required. Then, doesn't end there. Then he instructs that way, that cloud, right? All this is done by the wind. And then Allah Ta'ala instructs, this cloud is scheduled for this destination. As though the cloud was now the airport, you know. The airport is announcing that you are scheduled to go at this continent. And you must reach here at this time. And you're going to deliver in this town. And this is what you're going to be delivering. This amount, this quantity, with this amount of force. Everything, the last detail is given to the cloud. And the cloud is going in that direction, exactly. Can anybody kidnap that cloud and say, no, you're coming to me? Anybody do it? Hijack it. Real hijacking. Jacking high, isn't it? Can anybody do it? I ask you, can anybody do it? So that water is absolutely in the control of Allah Ta'ala. And water means life. So to a certain point, you can control life. To a certain point. But you have to say after that, no, it is hands up. At one point, it is hands up. And beyond this point, it's Allah Ta'ala's decision. It's nobody's decision, not the country, not the prime minister, not any person, not a jinnat, not the farishta, nobody. It's my decision. Allah Pak is showing me. Like the food, I said, at one point was your choice. After that, it's Allah Ta'ala's decision. The seed, to some extent, it was your work. Beyond that, it's Allah Ta'ala's decision. This water on which everything depends on it, is entirely the decision of Allah Ta'ala. The town becomes grey. Then you call it a grey town. And with a little bit of rain, then it becomes a green town. Don't you see it? Whose work? I see, whose work is this? Can't we just take out a little bit of time, reflect over the glory, the greatness, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala? The ease of Islam. Smile at your brother. Ease again. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا وإن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. If you're not doing it for everybody else, at least do it for your wife. Boy. Show a good face, not a straight face. Right, the food is ready. Right, sir, finish. I'm going to steam. You carry on. A little bit of smile. Smile on the face. Tolerance, endurance. But you do the smiling. Don't wait for the response. That is she smiling also. You don't wait for that. You initiate the whole thing. Smile, whatever you need to do, you do it. I mean, no, I'm so beautiful, they must start off with me. Bhai, tere andar kya khubsurati hai? Kya rakha hua hai tere andar? This stupid youth, you know, so many youth have to advise and counsel. Bhai, you don't worry about them initiating. You must initiate all the process. Because she is covered with shame and modesty. When she's covered with modesty, she can't do all the same of things. Allah made you robust. He made you brazen and brave. For you to initiate all these things here. Now you want to become like the rose thou and she will come for you. Don't be small hearted. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, big hearted. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, broad shoulders. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, overlook, forget faults. Don't keep it in your mind. Why they have to send me this? Why she? Yes, on our side, we be careful about using the right words. On our side, we be careful of using the right words. But don't wait, don't expect them to use right words for us. What happens to everybody here? They sit in the majlis, everybody becomes a sheikh. Hey, why use this word here? You know, they're told in the majlis, mustn't use this type of word. So you don't become the sheikh, just become the murid. Now everybody has to become the sheikh at his own house, with everybody else, in the classroom, everywhere you're going to become a sheikh. So you're going to go and correct everybody. You must remain a student. We are students, we are here to learn. Not to go and correct everybody. Then you start learning a little bit of tajweed. So the imam read one mistake in the qiraat, see, tajweed error. He doesn't know his tajweed, he must go and sort himself out. So there you will pick out on the imam, you will pick out on the muazzin, everybody will be failing. Your work is a student, we are here to learn. Yeah, if something is blatantly wrong, openly wrong, then you correct it, rectify it. But it's a small thing, right? And it can be corrected at a different occasion, then leave it for a different occasion. Don't go and show out your knowledge. I know about this, this person don't know about it. He doesn't know the ABC of tajweed, he doesn't know. I need to go and correct him. He must go to a qari sahib and rectify himself. It has to be corrected. What's wrong has to be corrected. But there's a way. There's a thing like a small, a minor mistake and a major mistake. And each one needs to be corrected in its own time, in its own way. And we don't know these things. We don't realize these things. Yeah? That which required a little bit of attention, now you're going to become overburdening. And that which required an urgent assistance, then you'll be totally relaxed. But Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he turned blind. I'm showing you today with the very puzzle of Allah Ta'ala, that deen is easy really. But the difficulty is in our minds. It's not difficult at all. Really, deen is here to make things easy. Aqimi salata ya Bilal, arihna. Bilal, start off the namaz, man. We'll be relaxed. You will make us relaxed, you make the namaz. Don't you see, if you just perform two rakat namaz, nicely made wuzu, sunnat and all that, then two rakats with itminan, 4 or 5 minutes with itminan, you read the two rakat namaz. Don't you feel an immediate sense of relaxation? Just do the adab, come respectfully to the masjid, and two rakat namaz, right? You don't require all these tranquilizers. You don't require that. A free tranquilizer, Allah is giving you, injecting you, and feeling so nice, you're feeling so relaxed. Just two rakat of namaz. So really the deen was for your relaxation, for your ease. It was not for making things difficult for you. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, towards the end of his life, he became blind. So his grandson is leading him into the Haram Sharif. There is a group of Iraqis who had assassinated Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. They were sitting around there, and now they got Ibn Umar. So they asking Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, okay, in the state of Ihram, if you killed a fly came under your feet and you stamped it, it died mistakenly now. What is the dam for it? Right. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, look at these people here. Cold-blooded, they went and killed the grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hussein radiallahu anhu. And they don't blink an eye for that. What they're asking, that one kill one fly now, what is the dumb for that? See, overreacting. Where you're supposed to be considerate, then you don't be considerate. Where you're supposed to be just ignoring something, then you become over-concerned. It means we don't have the understanding of thee. Anyway, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he heard this from he gave the masla. After he gave the masla, now his son, his grandson that is there, his grandson is telling him, he's blind, so the son, as though he took a photo of how the facial response was. When he said this, you know, they killed the grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they don't bat an eye. And here they're asking about stamping a fly to death. So look at the diversity. Now the grandson saw the response on the faces of the audience, the Iraqi audience. So the grandson says to the father, okay, Dada Abba, you know what? Nazaraka binazrin muhmarratin. Nazaraka binazrin muhmarratin. Nazaral نظر الزليل إلى العزيز القاهر. Abba, you know what happened? These people gave you a stiff look. You know? Red, bloodshot eyes. Gave you a stiff look. Like how a mean person will look at a person in position. How you look at him? So a grandchild, about 5-6 years of age, but the graphic photo that he, you know, he captured and related to his grandfather. So where we need to make the consideration, we don't make the consideration. And where we need to be serious, we're not serious. You see this diversity in behavior, inconsistent pattern. Otherwise, Islam is very easy. It's very easy, it's very simple, it's very straightforward. So I was explaining the greatest ayat in the Quran Sharif is Ayat al-Kursi, and see the greatness, the glory of Allah Ta'ala. That in everything that you can think of, there is a certain point that you can reach. Beyond that, it's beyond your control. It's entirely the control of Allah, and you see it with your eyes. You can see it with your eyes that it's, you know, that's the limit. You can't go beyond that limit. See, like your age, right? Your life, right? See the beginning. What a despicable situation, right? Helpless, despicable, dirty. And how Allah Ta'ala develops that. Brings that person first as a child, then he develops his intelligence, his reasoning, his learning, his knowledge, and now he's a fully bodied person. Right? So strong, so mighty he becomes at that. Now he's engineering things, big castles, homes, palaces, right? Motor cars, rockets, right? But then you look at the beginning and now you look at him at this level, you can't, it's mind-boggling that this thing that was so despicable, the beginning was so humble, so senseless and useless, now this person has become so great, so powerful, so mighty. So we looked at man only at this level. That's what I say, tunnel vision. You're not looking beyond that. Who created that ingenuity in that person? From that useless state, helpless state, to this level here, who did all that? Al-Hayyul Qayyum. So that's the greatest verse in the Quran Sharif. We look at this, the greatness, the glory of Allah Ta'ala, and we look within the creation, it will be a clear reflection of His glory. But what we do is, we look at the translation, and then to understand, to be able to apply, nobody thinks of doing it. So we just look at the translation, and we carry it on. Really, the food that we eat, right? What is the desired thing in the food? Is it more the taste or more the energy? Is it more the excitement or the energy? The energy is the thing that is required. And we're just going for the excitement and we're not concerned about the energy. The look must be like this. The name must be like this. Shawarma and pizza and all that. Right? So we're looking for exciting names, thrilling taste. But the thing that was required of the food was good energy. Good body, good health. That nobody is concerned about. The same happens with ilm and knowledge. We got so much. So it's not about curiosity. Intellectual curiosity, not that. But that's what we think. Oh, something new came up today. Something came up in the WhatsApp. This hadith is zaif. Don't quote it. So something new came up. So something exciting. I can talk to my friends. You know, I'll tell them that the hadith is zaif. Now, us baremiya ko puchne jao. کہ حدیث ضعیف کی تعریف کیا ہے what is the definition of حدیث ضعیف he doesn't know but now to like a great person I must say no, this حدیث ضعیف can't quote it فضائل عمل is ضعیف person quote it what is ضعیف what is the تعریف what is the definition what is the حکم what is the law concerning a ضعیف حدیث he doesn't know anything nothing he knows but now he came across something he must quote it why to impress upon others that I have got some knowledge, I know something that you don't know. So one is the knowledge, and one is the digesting of that knowledge. The knowledge will really show its worth if you have digested it correctly. A little bit of knowledge, but it's well digested. It goes into the system, and it will show its worth. That food goes into the system, and it digested well, then it shows its worth. It shows its real value. But if you're going to look at that food just for purposes of excitement and entertainment and not energy and not good health, then we're losing the plot. The same thing happens with education. And we take a little, enjoy it, and let it digest well, let it transform into energy, right? Let it transform into some type of energy, then we take some more. So we take little knowledge, in little installments, and let that thing digest very well in us. It's digested very well in us, now we're taking some more. So what a dramatic change it will make into your lives. We've taken that ilm, we've taken that knowledge, we understood it, we digested it, we let it transform into action, then we went for the second round. What a great thing, right? So Al-Hayyul Qayyum, I was explaining the greatest verse, the most magnificent verse in the Quran Sharif. Ibn Abbas is a lengthy hadith, but it's a matter of interest, right? So he says thereafter, the verse that shows Taslim and Rida. See, our whole life is meant for what? Sometimes we don't understand the end in our life. What is the end? What are we aiming towards? What is the objective? When we don't know the objective, so some persons will feel, no, I must get more ilm, I must know something's more. Or I must be a more sharp person, more intelligent person, more wise person. So now what is the maqsood? What is the whole idea? The whole idea, يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, to submit to Allah Ta'ala, seek for His pleasure. So when we don't know the end, then the end in our minds become, I am more sharp, I am more intelligent, I am more wise than this person. He can express himself better than this person here. He is called on the assembly to come and deliver a talk. So he is very intelligent. So that's not the end. Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah says, Fahm o khatir tez kardan nis tara. You want to know what's the path of righteousness, the path that is leading to Allah Ta'ala. It's not about sharpening your intelligence. It's not about how bright you are. Jus shikasta mi nagirat fazlisha. If you want the real grace, the pure grace, the pure blessing of Allah Ta'ala, you want to know what's your goal. You want to know that path of acceptance, the path that Allah Ta'ala will give you an embrace. Let me tell you, ni shikasta mi nagirat fazlisha. Humble yourself. What shaitan refused to do, you go and do it. Usne apne aap ko jhukaya nahi. Jhukne se bilkul inkar kar diya. He just went on a denial. He refused, blankly refused. I don't want to submit. I don't want submission. So the path here is just on submission. And submission just to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Submission to gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. It is not about sharpening the intelligence, how bright you are, how eloquent you are, how smart you are. It's not about all that. It's about how much you can surrender, how much you can submit, and submit again only for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, not for impressing upon anybody else. Say, no, I'm a haqir, faqir. So he'll say, I'm a nachiz, mandarin. So what's the joy in that? The joy is then, you just submit. So the command of Allah Ta'ala, I just listen. It's the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, I seek. So at any given moment, he's just submitting himself. I tell you, that's the essence of life. In a marriage, for that marriage to be enjoyable, one is submitting, enjoying. Isn't an enjoyable relationship? But each spouse wants to show an attitude that's becoming like the norm of the day. I want to show attitude, I want to impress, and she wants to impress. I ask you, can that home function correctly? But when the spouse, now each one says, no, let me just submit myself, let me humble myself. Let me lower myself, let me humble myself. Isn't it an enjoyable relationship? Everybody has flaws, but you submit, you surrender, make maaf, apologize, and carry on, continue with your life. Isn't it an enjoyable relationship? Didn't submit, and you show that attitude. Now you feel restless the entire night, and your spouse is also restless the entire night. But the other way, no, I made maaf, I'm sorry, made a mistake. And just passed your hand, or over the head, whatever. Made her mouth, made her feel nice, or she made you do the same. How nice don't you feel? So this easy methods, easy, simple, straightforward, natural methods, we shift away from them and go into all this type of made up life, a life full of formality. That's not Islam. So the ayat that is showing and directing us towards what's the real goal, and that is submission, taslim, surrendering with pleasure. Surrendering what would put pleasure. So Ibn Abbas says, مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مُخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Trust Allah Ta'ala and He is sufficient. Trust in Him. Take care of Him. When you say taqwa, take care of Allah Ta'ala. Any given situation, regarding this, that I must take care of Allah Ta'ala in the situation that I am in. Whatever He says, I must just lower myself. I mustn't ask. Whatever He says, He knows why He said it. I don't need to know that. Yes, He asked me to do it, I must do it. I must be a humble servant of Allah Ta'ala. I don't need to know. Now, you ask the worker, for example, to sweep. They sweep this whole place. And he fires you up with 10 questions, right? Boss, do I need to do it now? And what's the big deal about sweeping this, you know? You don't need to sweep it. This thing will still function, you won't die. So why must I sweep it? And you know, you're going to sweep that thing, you're going to waste all the brooms, you know. So he lines you up with 10 questions. What the boss has said, I think you're too clever for me. You look for another job, right? You want him to just listen, carry out orders. You don't want to give him all the philosophy of sweeping it, keeping the office neat. You don't need him to do all that. So wallah, in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, we are lower than that boy that is sweeping. That boy that is doing that menial job, in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, we all are more menial than that. And then we feel ourselves eligible, entitled to question the authority of Allah Ta'ala. I say, is it on? Is it fair? Allah Pak said, Maghrib namaz read 3 rakats, right? Allah Pak, it's your call, it's your decision. Let it be. Why must I ask your authority? Why must I question? Isha namaz, the first 2 rakats, read with a surah and read it aloud. Allah Pak, why you said it? You know it. Asr namaz, read softly. Isha namaz, read it loudly. Why and what? I don't need to know all about all this. Just Allah Pak told us, I must just surrender. So it's mental surrendering, mental submission. And I tell you today, the challenge, the jihad is mental submission. Because we are listening to bayans, but our minds are questioning. Our minds are drowning in the ocean of doubts and suspicion. On account of the diversity of the literature that we are reading. In the WhatsApp and whatever other things we are reading, mind is going here, there, everywhere. We don't have our minds in the ocean of submission. And your progress is subject to this. In proportion to how much you send, Allah, it's your command, I'm doing it. I don't need to ask any question. So all I need to know, is it your command or not? Once I have verified that it's your command, then I must just subject. I must just surrender. And I must do it with pleasure, it's your command. I'm not doing it grudgingly. I'm not doing it, finding it difficult. It's your command, I must just do it. Fajr namaz, I must get up, finish. Why now Fajr namaz? Can't Allah Ta'ala postpone it to 9 o'clock in the day? We get up nicely, smooth, and then we can read at 9 o'clock. No? What was the need for that? I don't need to ask you. I don't need to ask. So the verse that is showing this is this verse here. Allah Pak is sufficient. You have surrendered for Him, you have submitted to Him, and He'll take on from you. From there, He will take on. Like I said, you sow that seed, Allah Ta'ala will take on from there. By the same token, Iman requires that you sow that seed of submission deep into you. And sowing the seed means that you don't ask after that. And the seed that you're sowing, that you must jump off and, you know, why must I go into this type of humiliation? You know, I was looking so cute and so beautiful. And now you're putting me into this dust. You've got no respect for me. You know, I've got a life, I've got an existence of myself. What about me? Can life continue? That thing will have to go down. It will have to annihilate itself for life to flourish. So for the Imani life to flourish, you will have to deep down root the seed of submission into you. Allah Pak, it's your command. I'm doing it. Let it go right down. For life to flourish, then the seed will have to go deep down. Deep down, happily it will have to go down. And because of its submission, life flourishes. For Iman to flourish, then the seeds of Iman, the seeds of Deen, have to go deep down, annihilate, deep down. When it's gone deep down, then you'll find Iman flourishing. But if the seed of iman wants to pop up all the time, why this and why that, why can't he be like this, and why poverty is for me and wealth is for him, then that iman doesn't take root. Am I the only person that Allah Ta'ala found to put through all these type of trials? So kept on objecting, and no progress. You showed how smart you were, you showed how intelligent you were, but forget it, you got no progress whatsoever. And that person wasn't a bright person, but he had the heart of submission. Allah, it's your command, your decision, I believe. And I just submit myself, I just humbly just put myself down. Your command, but Ghibah, don't do it, don't do it. Why mustn't do it? Allah, you know about it. Don't gossip. Why mustn't do it? Allah knows about it. Why mustn't misuse the eyes? Allah knows about it. So I don't need to ask. So I tell, besides the iman flourishing, it's such a mental relief. Your mind is relief. Your mind is not now tossing about why this and why not like this, why this and why not like this. Your mind is not tossing about. Your mind is it is. So this taslim, the second enjoyment that this taslim brings about, is you get the mental ease. It's my Rabb, I believe in him, it's his command, I must just carry out the instruction. To a certain point, my mind can perceive things, beyond that it can't perceive. So what belongs to Allah, Ta'ala, leave it for him. That's his parameter, I don't need to encroach. It's your parameter, if someone encroaches, do you appreciate that? You know, it's his boundary, why must I encroach? Why must I encroach? That's the ease of life. To surrender, to give yourself. One person is looking for a job, you know, at the time of difficulty and constraint, he's looking for a job. Can't find now. So he's looking for a job here, Delhi, Agra, Gujarat, Surat, everywhere he's looking for. Eventually, he got a job in Delhi somewhere. But a small salary. So what's the work? The work will be that you'll be the cook. Now it's a small salary, so he's working it out in his mind, you know. It's a small salary, and because I'll be the cook, so I'll get a place, I'll get an accommodation. Because I have to cook food at all times, I have to be there. Right. And number two, because I'll be the cook, you know, so I'll be feeding the master, I'll be feeding the boss all the time. So the scraps and all, I can carry on with that. All the money I can send home, they can live comfortably there. So he's worked it out, projecting. Expectation. The secret code of today's business, projection. And work for the projection. You are enslaving yourself. For your projections. Why don't you for a moment enslave yourself to the submission of Allah Ta'ala? The result will be still the same. You're enslaving yourself for projections, or you're enslaving yourself for the decision of Allah Ta'ala, for the submission of Allah Ta'ala, the end result will be still the same. But if you're submitting yourself, not for your projections, for the submission of Allah Ta'ala, for what He has decided, then you get two rewards. You get mental ease, relaxation, and your iman strengthens. Your bond with Allah Ta'ala is enjoyable. But you enslave yourself for projections, and the problem that you have is mental anxiety, trauma, depression at the end, right? Then, when you didn't see those figures, when you didn't arrive to those figures, then, besides the anxiety, I'm going to shout this person here, I'm going to come down upon this person here, and now like it becomes the culture and the fashion, so the wealthy now they squeeze out. Alright, we can do with a little less staff. So let's take out all the unnecessary, let's take them out. We can let this three people do, this one person do three people's job. So squeeze out all the extras, let them suffer their lives, and we can enjoy a better life. So anything, to shout, to squeeze, to rob, to cheat, do anything, but I need to have a better life. And here the way is submission, with humility submission, submission to the will of Allah Ta'ala, to the decision of Allah Ta'ala, and this is what He will give you. Now this thing here brings about anxiety, worry, tension, depression. And at the end, that person, he let me down. Now, this is the expectation I had. I worked for him, I slaved for him. And this is the reward, this is the return that I get. So you see the worry, the tight tension, the stress, the depression that you go through. But for a moment, why don't you give Allah a chance? submit to his decision, not to your mental projections, what your mind had projected, and not to your expectations, to his decision. Just submit and see the ease that comes after that. So this person now, he's taking on the job. He says, you know, this cook job, I think that is the right thing for me. Dilli, I get my house sorted out, and the food, all whatever is left over. Wo nawab ka khana to nawab ka khana hota hai. When it's the wealth of the wealthy, then it's the food of the wealthy. It's the food of the wealthy. The leftover will be also the leftover of a wealthy. So he's projecting all these things in his mind. Now it's the first month, and he has to prove himself. So he's putting all the recipes all in place. See, everything is right. The layout, the recipes, the marinating. See, everything, every level of that cooking is done very well. So as he's presented it with the presentation, with the flour on the side, some leaves on this side or that end, and the salads all presented very well. Now, the boss says, or lao. He has to be there to serve the boss. The boss is eating with his wife. Or lao. He's enjoying it. Or lao. Bring some more. Or lao. Now, it was so enjoyable, they didn't taste something for years. So now, the boss, the husband says to the worker that is serving, he says, all right, you know what, you brought so much and so enjoyable, so main zara Kaaba Sharif ka jharu de do. India, they say, you know, to clean the pot, how they say, let me sweep the Kaaba Sharif. That's like a proverb, you know, muhawara. Let me sweep the Kaaba Sharif. I'll just get the pot, so I'll scrape the pot and I'll eat. Now he had all his expectations in the pot, that I'll scrape the pot and eat. At least I have something for the night. And all his expectations are all dashed now. So what he says, Zara Kaaba Sharif ka main jharu de do. Let me sweep the Kaaba Sharif. Now how much of expectation from the morning is waiting for this moment? I'll eat a little bit of rotis there, the tarkari there, I will see myself right, and everything will be squared out, you know. When he smashed his hopes, now that worker, he got frustrated. Said, oh, Kaaba Sharif ka main jharu de do. So the worker, he pulled up the pot. In India, they're cooking on fire, you see. So the under of the pot will be black. So the worker says to the master, to the boss, isse pehle zara Hajar Aswad ka bosa bhi le lo. See this expectation, how it kills you. But Allah Pak is saying, why this surrender, submit yourself to my decision. What I decide, just submit yourself. You won't have any stress, no trauma, no anxiety, no worry. You got 1,000, you're happy. You got 1,000,000, you're still happy. It's still the same Allah Ta'ala that is providing. Why must I worry about these fluctuations? So you see this lesson of Taslim so great. Then the third verse, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is talking about, that impresses upon the mercy and the extent of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. The mercy and the extent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the third verse. Right. And the fourth verse, because the time is less, let me give you the fourth verse so you can make the tafsir of it later on in your own time. The ayat that is most comprehensive in commands and prohibitions. The ayat that is most comprehensive in commands and prohibitions. In Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan. Till the end. And the last verse, most comprehensive and greatest in showing the extent of the mercy. Ya ibadiya alladhin asrafu ala anfusim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Servants that have wronged themselves. You have spoiled things, you have messed up things. Now Allah Pak knows that you messed it up. You spoiled things, you went did wrong, all wrong things when I'm done. Right? And you know about it and you're feeling guilty about it. So when you felt that guilt about it, Allah Pak likes that. Because you're acknowledging that fault. You're not coming out brazen, trying to justify, trying to legitimize. But you think to yourself, no, I wronged. I messed it up. Right? So what Allah Pak is saying, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. I know that you messed it up. I'm your Rabb, so I know what's there in life that I don't know about. I know you from the day that you were born. In fact, before you were born, I know about you. Your whole itinerary I know. And what you're going to do in the future, what's going to be your behavior, I know about that as well. So I am, as your Rabb, I am declaring, don't you despair of my mercy. He's telling you that he knows that he's you wrong. But with all your wrong, but don't ever despair of my mercy.